May 30, 2018, it's the Watt from Pedro show.
Thank you.
Pedro show, Wednesday here. Pedro, we had some rain last night, this morning, but it's April showers bring May flies. It's the last days of May. You know what? I should have played Blue Oyster Cult. You know, they got this song, The Last Days of May. What a fucking idiot. Sorry, next year, people. I did thank Skipper Jeff for reminding me. And I have played on the show many times. We started off this show with On Green Dolphin Street, which is John Coltrane's last tour of Miles Davis, 1960. And then we heard the Bonner Slick Duo doing Ready, Set, Exercise. And, yeah, Brother Matt indisposed, but I am not totally man alone here in Pedro because of the wonders of those engineers in Estonia with their Skype invention. We got Julie Slick on board from Philadelphia.
That's correct. Hello. How are you?
Right. Thanks for being on so much. People, Julie Slick is a bass sister I got turned on to from Petra Hayes. We got to give big thanks to Pet to make the connect. Yeah. And have you been to 33rd Street in your town and seen John Coltrane's pad?
I have not, actually. I've ridden past it on my bicycle.
It's kind of by the zoo?
Actually. Yes.
Yeah. North side of town, there was a pad I used to play there called the North Star Bar.
Yeah, that's in my neighborhood.
Oh, but you don't live far from him.
Nope. I grew up, like, that was my neighborhood bar, basically. That was, like, I played many gigs there.
Okay, because he's just a few blocks north of there. This pad he built with his GI Bill. A cousin Mary lived there after. He moved to, of course, Long Island, Dix Hills, and ended up writing Love Supreme. And, and he's put in the ground there with Alice and Pylon. But really important about the 33 Street pad is that's where he kicks junk the year I was born. Anyway, don't mean to get off the beaten trail, but Richard Meltzer said that was a great thing, because when John Coltrane did that, because everybody thought you had to be fucked up like Bird, you know? So mm-hmm. when John Coltrane did that and then got even better, Richard Meltzer said John Coltrane kicked dope out of the temple. So that's kind of intense. I want to ask you, Julie, what's your earliest, way before the North Star Bar, what's your earliest music recollection?
Oof. Well, my parents, you know, they're hippies, so they took us to concerts starting pretty young. And I saw Dire Straits, like Mark Knopfler, shredding at, like, the local arena at the Spectrum when I was 6 years old. I would say that's pretty early memory. And then I also saw Paul McCartney that year and Eric Clapton and then Peter Gabriel the year after that. So that was, like, you know, from a pretty young age, Emerson, Lake and Palmer, like, between the ages of 6 and 7, getting it. But
we're talking about the 70s. Right? Emerson, Lake and Palmer. No, but Mark Knopfler is 80s. Yeah.
Yeah, this, I'm talking about, like, yeah, talking early 90s, like, because I was born in 86.
Ah, so it's another version. That's a later version. Because totally. I saw Emerson, Lake, and Palmer a bunch of times. But it was in the 70s.
Yeah.
My pool cleaner friend, Tony, he loved them. And, man, they play like 3-4 hours. They do whole albums.
Oh, yeah. And, you know, he's like, you know, Emerson used to go crazy. And, you know, seeing that as a kid, that was, like, you know, heavily impacted
me. Last time I saw him, he twirled on a piano in the air.
Yeah.
Anyway, we're talking Philadelphia. You know somebody I met from Philadelphia that lives here in Pedro? Linda Bukowski. She used to come to Minuteman gigs.
Oh,
and
yeah.
She told me when she was, you know, she's from Philly, but she met Charles Bukowski at Redondo Beach at a health food pad or something. Anyway, she said when she was living younger in Philadelphia, she smoked a leño with Jimmy. That's a good story.
Yeah.
Okay, so what about, okay, your parents are hippies, so kind of lifestyle, but they're obviously listeners and gig-goers. Were they also music makers?
Totally. My dad, like, he's got this insane guitar collection. So, like, as kids, like, that's what me and my brother played on. My brother's a musician, too. He plays drums and guitar. And so he's got, like, in the 80s, he collected all these insane, like, old Gibsons and Fenders and Ricks and Hofners. When everybody was collecting, like, synths and keyboards and stuff, my dad was collecting guitars. So
okay, for your brother. And your brother's older?
My brother's a year younger.
Oh, he's younger.
Yeah. So,
but there's stuff in the house. That's the point. You grew up with musical instruments in the pad. And,
oh, yeah.
And what about, did he want it, you know, his kids to play?
My dad and my mom?
Yeah.
I mean, of course. That's what, like, the instruments all lying around, you know, and also.
Julie, did your mother play too?
Well, she didn't necessarily. She can play a little bit on the classical guitar, but her father played trombone, and he played with Buddy Rich and Billie Holiday when he was, like, a kid. He was kind of like this child prodigy.
Wow.
And he would be going up to New York, and
it's only 100 miles
up there. Yeah, it's very close. So, you know,
taking the Amtrak once. And, you know, yeah. Bone is still bass clef, so maybe, you know, it was running through you.
Totally.
Okay, so what about you know, those gigs was their idea. What was the first gig that you went to on your own?
Well, you know, since I was born in 86, I had to, you know, I grew up through, like, the 90s era of music, and I think, unfortunately, the first gig that I wanted to go to was probably a Bush concert.
Okay. Probably no more Nirvana touring, maybe.
Yeah, exactly. No, he died when I was
okay, 80. What about this? What about the first record you bought yourself?
Well, that was, again, probably a Bush album the same year.
Okay.
But here's the thing, though. Soon after that is when, you know, I started studying at this quote-unquote school of rock, which wasn't an actual school. It was just this dude, this nut, Paul Green, teaching kids out of his apartment, and he called it the school of rock. And that's how I got hooked up with Adrian and everything, you know, playing with Adrian Ballou for the last 12 years.
Was through the school of rock?
Yeah. So
what about an actual school, like grade school and high school? Was there music classes?
Not really. I mean, I went through the Philadelphia public school system,
yeah.
And unfortunately, they didn't have such an emphasis on the arts. And I went to a very, you know, academically, you know, challenging school. You had to have, you know, very high scores to get in, and et cetera. It was a magnet school.
Okay.
But even still, there wasn't, like, a strong emphasis on the arts and music. You know, you had to, if you wanted to be in band, you had to, you know, get up early and do that sort of thing. But, you know, it was
well,
very
what about
strict.
Since a magnet school, probably no football team.
No, God, no.
And what I mean is football team needs a marching band.
Yeah, no, yeah. Exactly. So
I talk to people on the show because everybody has their own different journey through music. So that's why I ask these questions, because they're always different.
Yeah.
Okay, so you go, what was his name, this guy in this apartment?
Paul Green.
Yeah, Paul Green. Thank you so much.
Very similar to Jack Black, you know. So, like, there's a lot of parallels to that actual.
You mean the movie, Jack Black, comedy?
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, totally. Totally mirrored us. Like, you know, they followed us around in 2002 with some cameras. And they even said in an article in 2001 when they covered us in Spin magazine, they said, like, well, Paul Green, who, you know, is very Jack Black-like in his character. If anybody were to play him in a movie, it would be Jack Black.
Wow.
So, you know, there's a lot of, you know, conspiracies that the film kind of copied us. And, like, even there's that quiet girl bass player in the movie, and it's kind of, like, based on me, some might say.
Like, but Petra's sister's married to Jack. He's been on the show.
Exactly.
Wow. Small world. And because I was wondering about the Adrian Ballou connect, because isn't he like Champaign Urbana or something, Midwest?
Yep. I mean, so yeah, basically, you know, after Paul started branching out selling franchises, after the success of the movie, we went around and started touring, and he started recruiting, you know, different rock stars that maybe played with Zappa, and that would be interested in, you know, touring with some of the all-star students to help sell more franchises and also to continue their legacy. It's a good thing for everybody, basically. It's good for the kids.
Oh, so it's like kind of mentoring, but at the same time,
kind of legacy for them.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. It's like they come in, it's called, like, they do a guest professorship.
Sure.
Like, so Adrian came down and did one when I was already out of the school. I was studying at college. I was studying at Drexel University for recording. And that's when I was in my third year. Adrian had just finished doing the tour, and he was very inspired. And he asked Paul, you know, those kids are really good. Do you have any kids that are a little bit older that, you know, would be more available to tour with me on a regular basis that aren't in high school? And so Paul recommended me and my brother to be in his power trio. So that's when I got the call in my third year.
Oh, that's great. Hey, I want to play this Heisenberg Uncertainty from Bonner Slick Dope.
Oh, nice.
Attack by Night for the Roller Girl Regiment. Let's get down and show them how to roll. Troop filled till midnight, that's the way to go. Well, nothing can stop a certain type plan. Keep coming on through, doing the best we can. Follow them down and push it on. Dominate them from now on with a mighty clap of thunder. Make them all step back and wonder. Really show them the drill. They are really going to get their fill. Round and round, skating into the night. Going to conquer them tonight.
Reach for the sky. Clutching a clown. Waiting for good times. Screaming aloud like getting blood from a stone. Or resolve from revenge. No matter what I do, can't get this on.
LSD סעיפים נוספים. אני רוקם את הסיפור שאיני יכול לכתוב. עוד רגע קאט, כל זה ייעלם. מי שמנצח בסוף הם האבק, היתושים, שבילי העזים, העצים. כיצד נחזור הביתה? כיצד נצטמצם למימדי חדר ילדותינו? כיצד נעשה מילואים? ערב יורד, אך הצבעים עדיין בוהקים. הפולחן לא תם. ממשיכים לחפור באדמה הטובה, האבק מסתלסל סביבנו כהילה. כיצד נחזור הביתה?
For Pedro's show, we heard at Heisenberg Uncertainty, which is a kind of part of something I'm a big fan of. Mr. Einstein hated, but Heisenberg Uncertainty Principle. Yes. I think Mr. Einstein said, God does not play with dice. Bonner Slick Duo. After that, Lucy Leave with Look Listen. The Black Lips, brand new. It won't be long. I think Sean Lennon produced it. Guided by Voices, brand new. Well, you know, every 4 months, brand new, right? Grace Spat Matters. Brand new from Art Trip and the Static Sounds, Kirk Plump, Joe Brewer. A couple acts out of Madison here. Joe Brewer with Attack by Night, Jack Brewer's cousin. Clutching at Clouds, live TV broadcast from Negative Example at Bucky Pump from the Tar Babies. Then Afternoon Freak, which is a project I got put with last year. We're going to do our debut gig on Bloomsday coming up June 16th, Brooklyn Kitchen. Farther South to LSD Additional Clauses. That's out of Tel Aviv and Fife. Julie Slick with Many Laughs. So, tell us about Bonner Slick Duo.
Well, that was kind of a play date that my mom had set up. You know, this kid had, she was working at my former university's law school. Of course, she didn't work there when I went there to get me a discount in my tuition, damn it. But she started working there after I graduated. Okay. And she met this drummer's lawyer there. So they, you know, were talking and meddling, and then they decided to, you know, oh, well, Carl would love to jam with Julie, and Julie would love to, you know, maybe jam with Carl. So basically it was like this thing set up by my mom. And it was just a fun little thing. Like, Carl would come down during the weekdays before I would go on tour or into work at, like, a restaurant or something, and just, like, record those little, like, minute-long songs. And
So, you know, this is the earliest stuff I could find on your Bandcamp. So, actually, between the School of Rock and the Bonner Slick Duo, you were doing other stuff. You were recording and touring?
Oh, yeah. I was in, like, 7 bands at one point. Yeah.
Okay, tell me about your first gig.
The first gig. Man, well, I've had the Adrian Ballou gig for 12 years. That's one of the first gigs.
Okay, so coming, well, before that, you had some School of Rock with your brother, right?
Of course, yeah. And so, you know, like I was saying, we were going around and promoting the school when it was first branching out, and, you know, he was selling franchises. And
actually, the school is an apartment, but he's actually marketing an idea. Because, what? I think I did one of these School of Rocks here in L.A.
Yeah.
It's kind of a franchise, you know.
Okay. Exactly. So we would go around and tour, and, like, he would, you know, just help sell the franchises and
sure,
stuff.
Sure. Okay. So do you remember the first one you did? I'm just curious. Do you remember the first one you did?
Well, we went to Richardson, Texas in 2002, and we played this festival, this Wildflower Music Festival there. My brother ate too many corn dogs and threw up.
Uh-oh.
Don't eat 4 corn dogs before you play Frank Zappa music. That's
man's
got to
know his limitations. I think that's pretty obvious. Okay. So he didn't do too good, but for you it was okay. Yeah. Was it a pants shitter?
Yeah, I was fine. You know.
Oh, you weren't scared?
No,
born,
I mean.
You think you're a born entertainer?
Yeah, I'm like, oh, Eric's puking. All right, whatever. He's going to be fine.
Okay.
Did this
Bonner Slick Duo do any gigs, or was this for fun recording in between stuff?
We did a few gigs, and it was, like, mainly improvised. You know, we did some things, like, where I would have my friend call my phone, and I would, like, put my phone up to my bass pickup and make loops of it through my effects pedals and stuff like that. We would have fun like that.
Wow.
And we would have, like, the audience make up song names. That's where the Heisenberg's Uncertainty, like, that song title came from, like, audience participation.
You crowdsourced it.
Yeah, exactly.
So you know,
just
you
trying
went
to, like,
college.
Make a song based on the title that they said. Sometimes it made sense.
Yeah, I've seen improvised act and kind of things like that.
Yeah.
You said you went to Drexel to learn recording.
Yes.
But did you do any formal stuff besides the School of Rock with the bass?
No. I mean, at Drexel, they made us study a little bit of music. Like, I had to take lessons for a year, so I took upright lessons. And I don't own an upright bass, so it was really hard for me to keep up with that. I would have loved to have stuck with that, but unfortunately, no.
Okay.
But, yeah, no formal training, like, I can read music because of it, but I'm very slow at reading music. If you put a chart,
me too, I'm slow.
Yeah, there's no way I'm gonna like.
But you're mainly an autodidact. They probably were figuring if you're gonna record music, you should be able to make some too.
Yeah, I mean, I can. Yeah, exactly.
That's a good idea.
Totally. And that was like more of like the first year stuff. Mm-hmm. I mean, when I went there, it was really like we were the guinea pigs. And you felt that. Like they were changing the curriculum on us all the time. And in our third year, the year that I got the gig with Adrian, that was when they told us, like, okay, we decided that we're actually going to split you guys up into two different tracks. And the people that are more interested in the business side of the music industry go to that side, and you take more of, you know, business related and law related classes, and the people that are more interested in the tech side and the recording and, you know, the inner workings of, you know, MIDI programming and scoring the picture and things like that, you'll go to that side. Of course, I was more into that.
Sure.
One of like two girls interested in that.
Boys Town.
Yeah, of course. I mean, even in the whole class, even in the whole university, it's very male-dominated.
I'm sorry.
Yeah.
It's so ridiculous, you know, because look at some traditions like geisha. Mostly women were doing the music a couple hundred years ago in Japan.
Right.
So we got to get that going over here. Totally. Maybe a little too much time with the clothes and the hair, but...
Totally. I get it.
No, but it's weird how things got all divided up like that, screwed up.
Mm-hmm.
Now that you've gone through it, Julie... Would you recommend it to somebody getting into music?
Would I recommend School of Rock?
Well, why not School of Rock? But the Drexel, for sure the School of Rock was good because it got you out there playing.
Totally. I would definitely recommend that. I mean, and Drexel, to an extent. I mean, I was already, like, passionate about recording, and I really felt... like I was telling you, with the type of high school that I went to, it was very highly academic, so they kind of really expected everybody, oh, you're going to go to college, right? It was, like, not a question, you know, and most of the kids, like 30% of them go to Ivy League schools, a lot of kids go to Penn, and I felt like kind of a bum for going to Drexel, which is ridiculous, of course.
But at least it was applied kind of in the direction you were going. That's one good thing, maybe.
But I also felt like, oof, you know, there's a lot of stuff that I had, like, kind of already taught myself, and I felt kind of bored. It wasn't until, like, the last 2 years, because I will admit, like, after I got the gig with Adrian, I thought, you know, should I continue studying, or should I just, like, drop out? I kind of have this gig, but I, of course, I know
become
that...
Become a working musician.
Yeah, like, what do I do with this degree anyway? And I just decided... Well, whatever, I'll just finish anyway. And I ended up, you know, going for another 3 years. I had to, like, extend my last year and finish.
That's okay. I heard, I think, of Mr. Wells, no wine before it's time. Look, we came to the end of the first hour of the May 30, 2018 Watt for Pivo Show. Special guest, Julie Slick. Hold tight for hour two. May 30, 2018, it's the second hour of the Watt from Pedro Show.
Thank you.
We started the second hour off with Standard Edition doing Zit, something live, and just means to live in some language we don't know. Julie just hit the translator button. Then Why Denim, At Night and Dreams, Bernays Propaganda, Pochatok, Ikaj, as all get out from Doers, Yate Veo, Illumination, Moldom, and Four Dimensional Nightmare with Rolled Up Dimensions, and Kismet, Julie Schlick. And I did it quick like that because it's the second fucking time I forgot to hit the record button, people. 17 years later, I'm still doing stupid shit like this. Anyway, I would like Julie to tell us or enlighten us to this, because last hour we ended with Many Laughs, and that was under her own name.
And yes.
She was saying off air that this was the first stuff recorded under her name.
Yeah, so I started that doing that the solo album stuff in 2010. Basically, after my brother, who was in the power trio with me, with Adrian, from 2006 to 2009, at the end of 2009, another band called Dr. Dog, who's very popular in the United States, called him up and asked him to be their drummer full-time, and that meant he could no longer be in the power trio as well.
Did Adrian call it Art Bears?
Art Bears?
Yeah, because he had a band, I remember, called the Art Bears.
He had a band called The Bears.
I thought they were the Art Bears. I mean, I'm talking like in the 70s or something, or 80s.
Yeah, the 80s. He had a band called The Bears.
Okay.
They used to be called The Raisins before that.
Okay.
Maybe they were the Art Bears at some point. I don't know. But they definitely were The Bears.
But at this point, they're just called the Adrian Ballou Power Trio.
Yeah, now it's a power trio, but yeah. I mean, he still did a Bears tour, God, I don't know how many years ago, like 5 or 6 years ago, maybe. They did one last tour.
Oh, okay.
They're just guys he grew up with in Ohio, like near Kentucky and Cincinnati.
Okay. So your brother drops out, so you're not playing with Adrian, so you have time.
Yes. So, yeah, and I was like, and I was also like, I'm sad, so what do I do? Oh, let me make an album. So, that's what I did, and the song Many Laughs is, actually, I played it for my brother, and with the hopes of, you know, I recorded all these ideas, and I was just thinking, you know, it'd be really nice if I could get him to play some drums on that, because I had a recording studio set up in my apartment with the drums mic'd up and ready to go.
Jesus, drums in an apartment?
Yeah, well, it was a glorious apartment. It took, you know, I stayed in my relationship way too long because of that apartment, because it was like no neighbors on one side.
Oh.
It was like the drum sound was perfect, I'm telling you. Like, I walked up the stairs and I clapped, and I saw no standing walls. I was like, oh, man, this is perfect. Like, so I had a lot of good drum tracks in there. Like, all the sounds you heard before, like on the Bonner Slick Duo stuff, that was all recorded there. And so I played the song Many Laughs for my brother, you know, still with an untitled name that at that point. And I, you know, looked longingly at him like, what do you think? You know, do you want to play drums on it? And he said, you know who should play drums on this? And I'm thinking, well, you. And then he told me, actually, you should ask Marco Miniman, our friend, you know, who had just met in Russia playing this, like, King Crimson tribute thing. He was playing with Eddie Jobson. So I thought, I wasn't thinking about that, but maybe I'll ask Marco. So I emailed Marco, and he wrote back right away. And, like, within the next 24 hours, I had 3 different drum takes from him. And
magic of the internet, people.
Yeah, these projects brought to you by Dropbox, and I mean, back then he actually sent me a DVD of drum tracks. This was, you know, just 8 years ago, but he actually mailed me his drum tracks, and I mailed him back cookies to thank him for that.
Cookies.
Yeah.
Quickly, standard definition.
That was just a jam session that I did. It was like, I paid a lot of money to go to Drexel, like we talked about, and I was not sure if it was worth it.
Yeah.
So at the very end, I was just, you know, trying to book as much time as I could inside the studio there to sort of, you know, get my money's worth. And so I had this jam session with my senior year with my brother and our friend Brian Davis, who's this incredible guitar player. So that was just us goofing around.
Okay.
And I wanted to put it out because I liked it.
Yeah.
And so I called.
I want to play this from you called Six.
The Six from Terroir.
Thank you. rambling down Beale Street and turning up Main. Me and the Geechee gal walking hand in hand. I asked, why don't you get a job at Pee Wee's Saloon? A man likes to ramble, she replied, and she'll follow him soon. Across the muddy river, deep and wide, but if she tries to swim the river after him, she's afraid she might die. There are places in Memphis, passive, we all can hide. Your man is a rambler, she again replied. And she hung her head and cried. Hear the Summerland Special rolling over the rail. His light shining red as the brakeman's flag. Back in the alley behind the county jail, I hear guitars playing the Memphis Drag. Rock Island lions are rolling on the bluff through deep river fog. And I see ghosts walk where the gate crosses the yellow dog. There are places in Memphis where you can't hide. Down by the river on the Tennessee side, the Rock Island bell is ringing through deep river fog. Walking where the Katy crosses the yellow dog. Steve adores the singing with a heave and a cotton on the Delta Queen River boat. We'll be shooting dice in a horn tonight at the ironclad. All the ladies in silk and pearls will boast and brag. They'll be carousing there until the break of dawn. They go to sleep like babes on the courthouse lawn. Yes, there are places in Memphis where you can't hide. Down by the river, deep and wide, the Rock Island bell is ringing through deep river fog. And ghosts are walking where the Katy crosses the yellow dog. Johnny jumped off the Mississippi River Bridge, and as it sank into the dark, swirling waters below, the ether parted with a clap of thunder. He left a note to his dealer, ain't it a sacrilege? How time can pass so slow. Now I see a crow circling still where Johnny went under. In the distance, smoke of burning mansions is rising up. I'm riding out of here on the side of a boxcar. I split down before, but I did not get very far. This time I believe I've had enough. There are places in Memphis where you can't hide. Down by the river on the Tennessee side, the Rock Island bell
I try to sing a song. I think it's too much bad weather. Is it terrible rain? I don't know how can I stand that, because this is so much wet. But I just stay in the house. Sounds like raining noise. If this is a bad weather, and I think it's a horrible rain, I must stay in the house, whatever raining day. Whatever I gonna do, I know this is bad weather. It's so strangely noisy. It has to be a rain. Oh, is it raining? I must look out for window. But can't you see so much raining? It just feels like water. Sometimes I just forget it. I can see the grey clouds. But you think who was raining queer? It was the grey cloud. If this is a bad weather, and I think it's a horrible rain, I must stay in the house, whatever raining day. Whatever I gonna do, I know this is bad weather. It's so strangely noisy. It has to be a rain.
Watch for Peter's show. That was Six by Julie Slick. We forgot to talk about Kismet. Kismet's kind of a lucky thing, right?
Yeah, well, that was one of the few songs on the record where I'm just playing with my brother. It's just the two of us, kind of like the way we used to jam in the living room and try to mess with each other, changing time signatures all the time.
Whoa. So a little little sparring.
Yeah, okay. Exactly.
Then we had Falco. Memphis Ramble. He's on tour right now. I think he was in Memphis last night. Daniel Wakeford out of Brighton with Rainy Day. Raining Day. Yeah, because it's kind of raining. Hey, Daniel. Anthems of the Void with From Secret Plains. And finally, Julie Slick with David Torn doing Sky Park. Who's Dave Torn?
David Torn is an awesome guitar player, composer. He does film scores.
Sorry. No disrespect, Mr. Torn.
Yeah.
Okay. And how'd this happen? It was just Kismet?
Yes, exactly. Okay. How did it happen? Someone gave me his phone number, and like called me our mutual friend Anil Prasad,
uh-huh.
I think. And and he's friends with Pat Mastellotto, also from King Crimson. And
the new version with the three trap sets.
Exactly.
How do you get all that stuff around?
I don't even know.
Got three vans.
Yeah, buses.
One for Mr. Fripp and his stool.
Yeah,
he's an incredible musician, I mean, in his legacy. And I'm glad he's balls out. He still takes chances. Because he could go out there with just a trio to do that, you know.
Yeah.
Pretty adventurous man. I give him a lot of credit. And he's in his 70s now, right?
Yeah, it's like 72, I think, or something like that.
Much respect. Yeah. I remember this bootleg I had. And, you know, he used to have a microphone. He didn't sing, but he would talk between tunes sometimes. And somebody yells out, "Boogie." This is probably before your time. Arena rock, you know, people would say "Boogie." Like Mark Bolan said "Boogie." Anyway, he gets upset, man. He gets on the microphone, and he says, "We do not boogie."
And that is hilarious. I can imagine it, though. Yeah.
But
like
in a way, he could fucking boogie. He could probably do anything he wants.
Yeah.
You know where he's really great that people don't know? He's that guitar on Heroes by David Bowie.
Of course, yes.
Yeah. It's an incredible part, man. Really bitching. The German stuff. I remember I was with the Stooges and we're driving around, and Ig hardly ever talked about those times. But he pointed out the window. He goes, "Over there, Mike." And it was he pointed out some... like garage, auto place, repair place. He goes, "We lived right up there by the Potsdamer Platz." And I guess that's where him and David Bowie lived. When he was doing what? Idiot? Stuff like that. And then those guys were doing the Low and the Heroes. So, okay, so just a chance. And you being a... Do you record this stuff yourself, being a recording trained person?
Yes, I do record everything on my own to a certain extent. And then I take it to... my friend Todd, who I went to college with at Drexel, and he basically just finishes the mixing. Like, it's like, you know,
you can have some perspective, so you're not totally inside.
Exactly.
The forest without seeing the trees.
Yeah, so I get it to a certain point where I'm happy, you know, and then I go to Todd and I'm like, "Todd, finish it." And now that I've been a nomad for the last 4.5 years. Yeah, I don't live anywhere. I just travel around.
Couch surf?
Yeah, pretty much.
Okay.
So, so I don't have that glorious drum tracking room anymore.
No.
So I have to go into the studio anyway and finish the drums there. Because I kind of work backwards from most people. I do the drums last.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Jesus. That must be tough for the drummers. What do they play to? Just the music or click?
Yes, well, to a click, ideally. You know, I kind of gave our drummer a really hard time on this last album that we did because I changed a lot of, I guess I kind of messed with the time a lot.
And you're talking about Echo Test. We're going to get into this stuff, but Echo Test actually started as a duet with
Marco
Matera. Yeah, okay. And in fact, we're going to play that in the third hour here. We're at the end of the second hour. May 30, 2018, Dish Wapito Show, special guest Julie Slick. Hold tight for hour three. May 30th, 2018, is the third hour of the Wapito Show.
but that's not my job. And now we resort to outdated forms. Smoking is turning as rational brain in a slob. Write it down, it doesn't work. And if I had the cartoon know-how, and if I had the black clad dad, then I would stand straight on the carpet in the shade of American flag and go beat up those kids, the neighborhood punk, caricatures of the things that I wanted. So bad, but I threw my skateboard away. Sails, sleepless, learning comes home. Learn how to shed it, save it, throw it away.
There's a war. Thank you.
Okay, here we go. Wofford Peabody Show started the third off hour off with Crush from Julie Slick and Marco Machera. Then Midwestern Medicine with Locker Combinations, NATO Face, No Barcode, Oswaldy Both, El Fada and the Camel's Back from Ghost Car, and finally Julie Slick and Marco Machera, Green, something live. called Green. And this is the band that ends up being Echo Test. Yes. But this is the beginnings, right?
Yes. We were just called Julie Slick and Marco Macera because we were just a duo.
And we were talking about composition off air. And the way Julie Slick likes to work, she don't like, of course, the drums are last like she enlightened us to, but she don't like playing to a click track. So what she'll do, because she's used to playing with her brother, and she programs. What kind of machines? You were telling me three different.
Yeah, I just open up. I have, like, Logic. So this is where I use my college training, as I get Logic open, and then I usually will use the Ultrabeat thingy.
Yeah.
And I'll program, like, three different drum sets, usually. And that'll, you know, I'll usually have, like, a riff first, and then I'll, you know, get the drums to where I think feels good. And then at least I get it start, like, to a place where I could at least record the idea. And then I'll work, depending on how I'm feeling the song, if I have, like, different parts, you know, I might record all the parts that I have to that one drum idea, and then I go back and I edit the drums. That's usually how I work.
Now, when Marco comes in, do you take away the drums?
No, I always leave everything in.
So he's like, it's like, I don't know, Jambo and Clyde Stubblefield.
Yeah, I mean, it's kind of hard, you know, because, like, he's a bass player, too, so, you know.
Oh, he is. Oh, that's right. I saw in the credits it said bass,
Yeah, so we're both bass players, and then we give it to a drummer after that. So it's basically like a bass duo and a drum duo, because of all the drum programming that I end up doing, it's like, try to find your space. Good luck. Thumbs up, you know. Like, it's the hardest thing for me when I have an idea to kind of hold back, if you will, and not, like, record all of the parts. I mean, sometimes sometimes my idea is the quote-unquote bass, and then sometimes my ideas are not. They're more, like, in the guitar realm of things, because I'm playing the bass six.
Get up there in the high end. Yeah, okay.
Yeah, and
I did a session with Jim Keltner once, and he pointed up to the frets way up high on the neck. He goes, upper register. Then he pointed to the frets way down there by the F and F sharp, and he said, cash register.
Yeah, exactly. That's funny.
Because that's what a producer, right, in a session, that's where he wants the bass. He don't want that stuff up
high. Yeah.
I thought that was great. So the credits also say percussion, so he's not really doing trap set percussion. He's just doing little. Oh, okay. So mainly, do you know about Dose?
Yes, of course.
Yeah, because I'm in a two-bass duet, too. But we never really worked with a drummer.
Yeah.
Okay. You guys end up changing your name to Echo Test.
Yeah, it started getting too awkward because we would do tours with other people, and it would be like, okay, Julie Slick and Marco Macera featuring Pat Mascolato and Tim Mutzer. It was just like, all right, we need a name to call ourselves because it's getting too much. Like, I don't mind if they call it, you know, Julie Slick's Echo Test or Marco Macera's Echo Test. I would mind if they called it anything else.
But you don't want to sound like a marquee at the bottom of the movie poster.
Yeah.
All right. We got this tune here called The Mirror's Writing. You want to tell us about that?
Yes.
Is this the first stuff under Echo Test?
Yes. Yes. That's, yes. And I can wait until... Am I supposed to wait?
Let's preview it.
Yeah, I mean, it's called that because we wrote it backwards, and that's why it's called The Mirror Writing.
Wow, Leonardo da Vinci, right?
He
wrote exactly. The Mirror.
We came up with that ending riff first, with all the crazy harmonizer pedals, like, working together, and it was like, ooh, that's cool, but that's an ending for a song, so how do we,
how do we get to backwards?
Yeah, exactly.
Okay, let's listen.
Thank you.
Watch for Pedro show. Yeah, the Mirror Right Echo Test. You know, going against the sequential way of doing things and
yeah.
taking it backwards. And Zero Den after that, still hanging on as it was never meant to be. I think that's a WFMU live record, and I'm going to get to go there next month to do one of those. I hear Brian Turner just quit there. Or maybe thrown out, I don't know. Stick Sellers, Long Gone, Spice Pistol Stop, Paranoid State, Fire Burning, Evil Hearted You, Don't Ask, and finally Supercell, Echo Test. What a tune, Supercell. Tell me about that tune.
Thanks.
Yeah.
Well, Supercell, you know, it's a it's a big thunderstorm.
Yeah, right. I was almost killed like, by one in Finland.
You know, it was kind of inspired after I played a Talking Heads tribute sometimes. And, you
Tina
know,
Weymouth.
A lot of those songs, like, you know, Adrian,
what do you
of course,
think of, what's your opinion
band,
of
which
Tina
is awesome. And,
I'm sorry, Julie, what's your opinion of Tina Weymouth? I think she's an incredible bass player.
Oh, it's amazing. I mean, it's so difficult to be able to, like, lay down those grooves. Like, so, like, that song, what I was saying is, like, you know, the bass line pretty much repeats the same the whole time until the wild guitar solo ending. And it's really an exercise in discipline, you know. You get a whole new thing.
Yeah.
Yeah, like...
You know, the quality I always thought she had was she's very pneumatic. She pumps up the fucking trip.
Yeah, totally. And she just plays the same... Like, a lot of those tunes, like, she's just playing the same line, like, the whole, like, 7 minutes sometimes. Yeah. And that takes a lot of stamina. And, you know, it may not be the most... difficult, dexterous thing ever, but it ends up being a challenge when you think, like, when you actually are put in that position, like, doing it.
Oh, yeah, like the, Jim Brown's bands, you know?
Yeah.
Jesus. I remember this drummer guy, kind of fusion, and, hey, why don't you try some, man, I don't need some beats. Man, I don't need any beats. I don't need to do beats. Okay. So be it. What's your next plans, Julie?
So, next plans, we have some gigs with Adrian coming up at the Iridium in New York. That's coming up next week, the 6th through the 9th. That'll be fun, just getting to jam with good old Adrian again for 4 days. And then we're doing another, like, one-off little clinic at Sweetwater in Indiana. And then I'm going to finish album number 4 with Echo Test called Daughter of Ocean. So that should be coming out. It's a very spooky album about ghosts.
Whoa.
So I'd probably try to put that out around Halloween time. That's the goal. So we just have to finish.
Oh, of course.
one more song, like, needs vocals, I think. I mean, we're always increasingly, like, you know, experimenting more in the vocal world. Because I don't sing. But I like singing, and I always like to have my friends who are good singers sing stuff. So, yeah, there's one song that I would like more.
You like that component of music. Where can people find you on the internet?
Well, the music best found on my Bandcamp, so that would be julieslick.bandcamp.com. Otherwise, julieslick.com needs an update terribly, and I will update it, damn it, because I'm talking about it now.
Yeah, great. Because the way I look at a personal webpage, it's like a fanzine.
Yeah.
There's nobody in between.
Right.
I think it's the greatest thing of the internet. Why do we all have to go to the, like, mall, you know, the fake look mall? Why can't we have our own little fanzine? So,
totally.
If you get a chance, update that thing.
I know, you're
so
right.
So, people,
right.
That's JulieSlick.com.
That's right.
And, your journey, I mean, I love your music. Pat turned
Thank
me
you.
On to it. And, and, you know, I'm a little biased, a little bass-oriented, but just whatever is music. I just love it. And what you're doing in your story, man, very, very interesting. Inspiring. And so I want you to keep on keeping on, please.
Well, thank you, and it's been an honor to be on your show. Thank you so much.
Oh, wow. I want safe seas for you. No supercells. I want you to keep the keel in the water, but I love the way you roll the dice, man, and you love taking chances. That's very inspiring.
Thank you.
Yeah, it is. It is, because so much stuff is sleepwalking and connecting dots or whatever, the color by numbers. And I think this has always been a human problem. I don't think it's just a modern thing. So keep being in your pioneer spirit, Sister Julie. People, it's been the May 30th, 2018 edition of Wofford Pedro Show. Keep your powder dry.